Let's take a minute and go over last week's lesson on admonishing one another. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 14, Paul says, he writes, and basically is saying that expecting them to be able to admonish one another. They're not, it's really something that we've got, not to rehash the whole lesson again on admonishing one another, but we, as we talked about, we are expected to be able to admonish one another. And we might talk about, you know, what is required in order to admonish someone. Well, if you have, we're expected to admonish. So, and admonishing one another is based upon what? Like, what's, how do you say it, the... What are we admonishing them with?
Scripture.
The scriptures, yeah. And so, in order to admonish, we have to have a knowledge of the scriptures. So, we admonish one another because they need encouragement to make better choices, perhaps guidance they might need, or they need correction. And again, this is according to the scriptures. When we are admonishing someone, again, these are points we looked at last week, we must be spiritual minded. We looked at Galatians chapter 6, those who are spiritual, restore such a one. The guidance or the corrections, the warnings must be guided by the scriptures. If not, we don't necessarily go to them with opinions. I mean, those things can play in. But when someone has gone against the will of God, we use the will of God to correct them. Right? So it's guided by the scriptures. It must be done with patience and gentleness. If there's sin involved, we've got to be persistent about it. Because if there's sin involved, that means they're in sin. And if they're in sin, they're not right with God. And so we looked at some examples of Paul being persistent with them, with the Corinthians and others. And then finally, the purpose of admonishing one another is that we can all be complete in Christ when he comes. And that's really the idea, that we're here working with one another, encouraging one another, admonishing one another for that great day is coming, and we can be ready and equipped for that day. Tonight we're going to get into this lesson on forgive one another. So this lesson is a lesson that's it's going to be easy for us to want to run in a lot of different directions, because there's so many aspects of forgiving. As we talked briefly last week at the end of class, how there's the forgiving, there's asking for forgiveness, and then there's the giving of the forgiveness. So there's that aspect. And then there's aspects of what about the attitude that I am to have as I'm asking for the forgiveness? Or what about the attitude or the behavior of the one who needs to do the forgiving? I mean, there's so many different things. And then there's others. And then there's, you know, we can look at the fact that we sin against God. We're asking Him for forgiveness. It really is the same picture. And He forgives us. And that's not really what we're talking about in our study tonight, as far as personal sins or going to God, even though I do believe that we need to go to God and ask for forgiveness when we've wronged someone else. That's still part of it. But just to throw that out there, there's a lot of aspects in this lesson in different ways that can go. Regarding the one who is asking for forgiveness, regarding the one who is asking for forgiveness, would you please forgive me? So regarding that person, what is required of them to get to the point of asking for forgiveness? You see what I'm getting at? Why are they asking for forgiveness, basically, is what I'm saying.
They know they've done something.
That's right. Yeah, they know they've done something. They realize that they've done something wrong. They stand against someone or done something wrong, depending on how you want to word that. And this takes a great deal of humility. So we're speaking of the person, just briefly, of the one who's asking for forgiveness. Again, this isn't really the core of our lesson. We're talking about the one forgiving the others. But you just think of the one who's come to you, or you've gone to them because they've done something wrong. And it takes, like I said, a great deal of humility. They need, and just look at this broadly, they need to admit that they were wrong, they wronged someone, they made a mistake, whatever it might be. And interestingly, when I think of this, I can't help but think of children, specifically mine, and the lot of asking and giving of forgiveness that goes back and forth between them, and it's because they did something wrong, or they were told they did something wrong, and so they've got to admit it, and that is, we've got to admit I was wrong in what I did, and oh boy, isn't that hard to do? And a lot of people don't want to do that. You feel inferior. You're like, I messed up, and so now I'm this little nothing, which isn't the case, but definitely one of the hardest things to do. And to say that I was wrong in what I did, please forgive me. Owning up to your mistakes. What is it that causes someone to come to that realization that they need to ask for forgiveness? I guess Larry kind of said that. Is they know something. They've come to the knowledge of it by way of the conscience was pricked by knowledge, is how I worded it in my notes. Your conscience was pricked by something that they know. Maybe they were brought up a certain way, and it's just something that's ingrained in them, and it just slipped in the moment. I did something wrong, but then, oh, I know I did something wrong. I wasn't right. Okay, you know you did wrong. It could be the lesson that we just talked about on admonishing one another. Someone comes to you or comes to me and says, this was wrong, or I noticed you did this, and you're like, oh, you, and you talk about it, and you're like, you're right, I was wrong in what I did. You're looking at the scriptures, or you're just talking about it. It might not be anything scripture related. It could have been something very minor that you just need to talk about, but you come to the knowledge of the truth of the situation. And again, that you admit it, and you're willing to admit it. You need to admit it, and I know for some younger, it's a hard thing to do. Yes, I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? Let's look at a couple examples here. In Luke chapter 15, these two examples are examples of one asking and one giving of the forgiveness, even though in the first one it's not the specific, the word of forgiveness isn't there, but certainly the principle is here. Not reading the whole story, but we're just, Luke 15 is where we're at. We're going to start in verse 18. It says that I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. And in your sight, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced and kissed him. And the son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and a sandal on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life. He was lost and he has been found. And they began to be merry. So with this story, what I want us to see in in the prodigal story of the prodigal son, it starts off in verse 18. The son admits he was wrong. He came to a realization that he was wrong, and he never asked for forgiveness. I mean, the words aren't here, but we certainly see it by his action, because he chose to do the right thing and to return to his father, and his father, we can see, had forgiven him based on what we read. Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to kind of be bouncing through this whole context throughout this evening. And but just reading these verses for now, we're in Matthew 18, beginning in verse 23. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he began to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. But since he did not have the means to repay, his lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. The slave therefore, falling down and prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, I will repay you everything." And the lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. So, once again, you have a debt to something that was owed. And really, you can look at what we're talking about of forgiveness and sin, basically, or wrong, that there's the one that did that sinned against the wrong one, and then you have the one that's doing the forgiving, and the one that did the wrong is the one that is in debt, because he's in debt to the one he did wrong to, or in this case he owed. But in this story, and the one that owed begged, he prostrated himself, and as he got down, you get the idea that he was bowing before him, and said, "Please, you know, don't sell me and my family off and my stuff. I will repay you." And the Lord basically said, "It's all right. You're forgiven of your debt." And we'll look at the rest of this story as we go through our study here this evening. But why should we forgive others? Why should we forgive others?
One, we're commanded to.
Very good. Yeah, that's the ultimate reason. What's one of the big lines, one of the scriptures, and there's a few of them, a number of them, and the concept is what?
That you shouldn't carry hatred in your heart.
Yeah.
God will forgive us as we forgive others.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And so, and that goes along with what Kenny said, is the command that we are commanded to forgive, and it's because of that. These verses here, and that's what these verses here are saying. Let's just read Matthew 6. No, we can read them both. But in Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive men and their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, 32, in Ephesians 4, 32, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgave you." Like you say, that's why we need to forgive one another, because we have been forgiven. And he says, if we don't forgive, then he will not forgive us. So, how about how often should we forgive? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I can't find the verse, but it also says, by whatever measure you forgive, by whatever measure you judge, God will measure you by that same rule stick.
Very good.
So if we're not forgiving, we're not going to be forgiven.
Very good. Yeah, and we're going to read a verse that talks about forgiving one another from your heart and that's wholeheartedly, and that's not what you're talking about. I know what you're speaking of, but there is that measure of how we forgive one another. Is it everything we got, or are we withholding something there? Back in Matthew chapter 18, go ahead, Ben.
I guess along the similar lines of a recognition of how much we've been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like if we've been blessed abundantly with things, then we want to be generous with our things,
mm-hmm.
our stuff. Here we have a great blessing in the forgiveness that we've been given much. How in the world, what gives us the right to withhold such forgiveness from others, you know?
Yeah, very good. Here in Matthew 18, beginning in 21, Peter said, and came to him, saying, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. I think we hear this phrase in our homes with the younger ones. They've done it again. Do I really have to forgive them? I mean, and yes you do. Now, we'll keep going with this lesson. There's feelings behind this, and hard feelings and things that develop that we have to work through. But just looking at it on paper, yes, you have to forgive them. And in this case, it's up to 70 times 7. In other words, you will always forgive them. No matter what, you will have to forgive your brother or forgive others. Sometimes we are asked to forgive them for something, or forgive someone for something that seems minor, right? Something that's not real, like honestly, not a big deal. Like somebody steps on your toe, or they bump into you, or they don't hold the door for you, and they say, "Oh, I'm sorry," and we're thinking, "It's okay, don't worry about it, not a big deal." But people still ask for forgiveness of those things, and rightly so. Those are the things that are like minor things, I guess you could say. It's nothing major. We don't have any hard feelings about it. We don't have any reservations about anything. We honestly don't think you did anything wrong to me. But you feel bad. You slammed the door in the face. Or you didn't mean to. Or you stepped on him. Or whatever. You're throwing a baseball and you hit the guy in the head that was walking by. It happens. And people usually are like, yeah, obviously, don't worry about that. What about the things that are more meaningful to us? With things that we are hurt by the wrongdoing, something that we were done wrong to. Notice the situations that I have up here where even in these cases, we still need to forgive them, and be thinking of some too. If you don't see something up here, when this one's pretty broad, but when we've been wrong or sinned against, like something legitimate, and I didn't really think of an example on this, but obviously was sinned against. Someone did something wrong to us. There's another one here that they physically or mentally hurt us. They said something that was really hurtful. Like it was just them. It wasn't an accidental thing. I didn't mean to say. I mean, it was a hurtful thing, and they said it with the intention to hurt you. That's what I'm talking about. Or physically, they punched you, or they were mad and they didn't, they shoved you, or something like that. I'm talking something that was very intentional. We've been yelled at, or misspoken to. We deserve respect, that wasn't given. Or maybe it was an elder, and the way that you spoke to them was way out of line, might be a good way to say that. perhaps we've been stolen from or used in a negative way. They used you. For something that might have been against your will and you didn't know it. They took something from you, they took money, or they took your tool and they never returned it, or they took it and broke it and never... there's a lot of things that can fall into that category. We're thinking, the question is, when should we forgive others? And we obviously know always, but even in these cases, we need to forgive. Others, when someone comes to you about something that they did a long time ago and we didn't know about it. I've had that happen. This happened a long time ago and we had no clue about it, and they're like, I am so sorry. It has consequences. We're going to get into that, how a lot of things like this that are done to us have those consequences for it. No matter how much forgiving you do, there can be, anyway, consequences in the long run. The scriptures say, like we said, if we don't forgive one another from the heart, he's not going to forgive us. We've got to forgive one another, even in the toughest times. Is there anything anyone wants to say or add to this? The next slide is going to be more kind of practical, but just in verses really help us think about where we need to be mentally in regards to forgiving one another. But regarding this slide, anything we've talked about, does anybody have anything you want to say or add to any of this? So, perhaps I should have started with this question instead of bringing it up now, but what does it mean to forgive someone? There's some different concepts out there as to what it really means to forgive someone. I think a lot of times in the minor things, offenses, we're like, yeah, I forgive you. We're not even thinking about what we're saying. We say, yeah, I forgive you. And maybe it's okay, because it's kind of a minor thing. But then, even so, there are times that somebody has done something wrong to you or to me, to somebody, and they really feel a debt to it. Like, they're really bothered by it. But we're not sometimes, and we're like, don't worry about it. But remember how that other person feels, because they're like, they're really sorry. They did something, and we're like, don't worry about it. Which is kind of okay, but I think we've got to realize what the picture of forgiveness is. And you can use the picture of us, the Christians, and Christ. We sin, we have a debt. We've sinned against Christ, against God. We go to God, please forgive me. He forgives the debt. It's gone. Okay, so the picture is the same thing. So we sin against a brother or a neighbor or whatever. We sin against somebody. We do something wrong. We have a debt. Who can repay? Who can wipe out that debt? Obviously, God can ultimately, but it's the one who's going to grant the forgiveness, and that comes back to that picture of why we've got to forgive someone. We've got to forgive them. Our Heavenly Father won't forgive us if we don't. But that person has a debt to us. We forgive that debt. Ultimately, the Lord does, but we, as the one who's been sinned against, have an obligation to the one that sinned against you. And so forgiving one another, what does it mean? That was all a little blurb about forgiving one another. What does it mean to forgive somebody? What's your thought on that?
When you don't hold it against them any longer.
Okay.
That's one thing.
Yes.
You don't keep talking about it. You don't bring it up.
Very good.
To them or others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good thought too. I don't have that point on any of these slides, but oftentimes we, and this is loaded in a bunch of the other lessons that we've already discussed about where someone did wrong to us, and we forgive them, but then what do? We go talk to our neighbors, and we're talking to our friends. Ah, these guys, this guy, he did wrong to me, and it really made me mad, but I said I forgive him, but I don't know. Hopefully we don't do that. I know it is done by people of the world, because people, that their sense of relief is venting it to somebody. Well, we really ought not, if we've forgiven somebody, I mean, even if we haven't forgiven, we really shouldn't be venting those things to anybody except the one whom the sin is between you and the other brother. But especially when you've forgiven someone, it's done. It's done, and we forgive them. Like Lily said, we forget about it. Some of the thoughts I have up here is, Lily said, there's not holding it against them anymore. It's showing or granting favor, having mercy on them. We're not holding a grudge. We're not seeking revenge. That's a big one. But I think a lot of times, depending on the nature of the wrongdoing to us, some people got this revenge in them. It's like, if I could just, we have these thoughts that go through our mind, and not that we'd really necessarily execute any of them, but that's, we can't think that way. We can't behave that way. Forgive and forget. I've heard this a lot in, is it a real concept? No, it's not a real concept. Because the truth is, we really never forget the things that were done wrong to us. I think there comes a time in our life that we start to forget it, depending on how far back it was. But depending on the extremity of the wrongdoing and how it affected us, we might not ever forget it. But these points are true, and we're going to see some scriptures here that really highlight this. We don't hold it against them. We've said, I forgive you. They've come to us from the heart. Please, I realize I was wrong in what I did. Please forgive me. And the conversation is much longer than that, but that's the gist of it. Please forgive me. And either in the moment or in a short time, we grant that forgiveness. Yes, I forgive you. When we say that, it's done. It's done. We're not going to hold it against them anymore. It doesn't mean that we're not in some way hurt from what was done. I mentioned that there are consequences to there's consequences to doing wrong to another person. Even if everything is forgiven and the table is clean, there can still be consequences depending on what it is that was done. We ought not to dwell. Ought not to dwell on them. There's an issue of fellowship with God if we do not forgive our brethren or forgive others. I thought of 1 John 1. It's really a fantastic verse to show how fellowship works, and I believe we all know these things, and we know this. It's good to read them again. In 1 John 1, he says, just reading verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So what am I saying? So the scriptures say that we're to forgive our brethren. Now, I'm not, again, we're just looking at technical terms. I know it's hard to forgive. I know it's hard to let things go. and take a deep breath. It's hard, but just looking at the terms, if we don't forgive, our Heavenly Father doesn't forgive us. So, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, yet we are not willing to forgive one another, we lie and practice the truth. If we can't bring ourselves to forgive someone who has come to us, or we've gone to them and said, hey, you did wrong to me, or whatever, and they come to that realization, if we're not willing to forgive, they say that we're not in fellowship with Him, with God. I think this applies to all these verses that would read this way. But I'm back in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive man and their transgressions, your Father will forgive you. We're still in fellowship. We're in fellowship with God. If we forgive, He forgives. Okay. But if you do not forgive men, your Father will not forgive your transgressions. If we're not willing to forgive, then we are not forgiven, which means we're not walking in the light. We're not walking with God. We are in darkness, just like we read in 1 John. That's extreme. I mean, extreme might not be the right word. It's the truth. Let's just say that. And that really shows the severity of forgiving one another. It really shows how serious it is that we forgive one another. So now, let's look at these verses. I've got five verses here, and we can feel free to talk about them. If you have any thoughts, if your mind wants to wander a little bit, that's okay. And these are verses that I believe are really good verses to really help guide us along this journey of being forgiving people.
Two questions. One, you borrow something and break it and don't replace it. Now, I can forgive you for breaking it, but I doubt I'm going to loan you something else. You know,
that's right. That would be a consequence of I forgive you of that, but probably never again. Or yeah, I mean, and that's fine.
Right.
That's fine. That's right.
And the other thing is, do we owe the world the same forgiveness?
Yes, I believe we do. I believe we do. Now,
we're talking about we still have fellowship, and we don't have fellowship with them anyway.
That's right. But if
we still have to forgive the world.
Absolutely.
For what they do wrong,
yeah,
to us.
Absolutely. If our coworker or somebody or neighbor, they did wrong to us, a legitimate wrong, but then they came to us and said, hey, I'm really sorry.
Right.
If we're not willing to forgive others,
we need to forgive them even if they don't apologize.
That's right.
Even if they don't ask for it, we still need to forgive.
That's a good point, because yeah, not in that case, not everybody is going to be willing to come to, and we probably would approach them and say, hey, this wasn't right that you did, you know, and you have that discussion, and they might be like, well, what do? They're not in Christ, and so that's that situation. But we still would have to we'd be willing to forgive them. But nothing wrong, absolutely, with going to them and saying, this wasn't right. Yeah. That's good. The first verse is over in Proverbs chapter 17. I'll read it in the New American Standard, and I have on the board a different translation. But here in the New American Standard, Proverbs 17 and verse 9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. You might be kind of scratch your head a little bit, but I like this translation here. It's the New Living Translation. It says, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. And And that's what the verse is saying. That's what the verse is saying. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. When we are willing to forgive, the relationship grows. There's no tension there. There's peace. We're told to have to be at peace with all men. But if we dwell on it, it separates close friends. You're dwelling on it. It's festering in your mind. It's eating at you, but you're not doing anything about it. You're just enjoying the feeling of feeling angry. And the scripture says that it separates, dwelling on it separates close friends. It separates intimate friends. Basically, you're going to lose friends. Anybody want any comment on that verse there? Romans chapter 12. I mentioned be at peace with all men, and that's what we find here. In Romans 12, we're going to begin in verse 17. It says, never pay back. Now keep in mind, these are principles for us to keep in mind and live our life this way, but we're thinking about forgiving others. That's what we're trying to highlight here. And when it comes to forgiving others, because we've been wronged or sinned against, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will heap burning coals upon his head. And then verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And how good is that? That the mindset that we are to have, to never, somebody did wrong to us, we're not to want to seek revenge, to want to get back at them, because they hurt us. Someone in our house says, well, they hurt me, that's how they wanted to be treated, so I'm going to hurt them back. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Never pay back evil for evil. You have been done evil. That's a harsh word, but if you've been sinned against, evil has been done to you. Don't return that evil. Yes.
I don't know what verse, where it is, but also it says that when you're happy that when someone's done evil to you, when you're happy that they come to a misfortune, God removes his wrath on that person because of our wrong thinking.
Wow. Yes. That's good. That's good. Being happy that something bad happened to them. Yeah. never be that way. Anyways, another thing that we can grab out of this is we might say, well, they simply forgive me. We judge them by saying, well, they really didn't mean it because they're going to do it again or whatever. Scripture says, leave room for the vengeance of God, for the wrath of God. Let God take care of it. You do your part. We have our part to do. And even back up, I'm kind of bouncing around in verse 18, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Don't wait for the other person to come to their senses. We have a responsibility for ourselves to do the right thing and to do good. And we do what we can do. We ask for forgiveness from the heart. We grant that forgiveness from the heart, whatever side of the table that you're on. In Ephesians chapter 4, this is a good one here. Ephesians, they're all good. In Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, Ephesians 4, 26, check this out. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Okay? Take care of it. Take care of it right away. And then he says, let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hand what is good in order I'm sorry, I skipped 27. I just wanted 27. That's a good one too, 28. But 27 is, do not give the devil an opportunity. Okay, let's read this again. I butchered this whole thing. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. It goes together. If you let the sun go down on that anger, you just gave the devil an opportunity. And you're going to lay in bed, and it's just, you're going to dwell on it. You're going to wake up in the morning with a headache, and you're ready to really do something evil or continue to have those bad negative thoughts. We don't have to have that. We can't have that. If someone did wrong to us, we've got to forgive them, even when it's difficult, no matter how difficult it is. You know, I don't have this anywhere, and I did think of it, and I can't imagine, but this would probably be the extreme. This would be one of the most extreme cases. Somebody killed your child. Whew. And they did it on purpose. Or maybe they didn't. It doesn't matter. But they ran over your child, they beat him, whatever. Somebody broke into your house. They later on, they come to the realization. We read stories like this, and they're in prison. Oh, you know, I did wrong, I know. And they read the Bible, and they realize that was wrong. And you hear them, and they're sitting in court, and you're like, I'm so sorry. And I think it's probably legit. In a lot of these cases, you have the heart to forgive them. We're supposed to. Oh, man. I hope I'm never in that situation. Go ahead.
I think the hard part with those situations is they don't, what if they don't ask for forgiveness? Right?
Yeah.
We still have to forgive.
That's right.
And the hard part is, what does that look like?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. So.
I might fail that one.
Yeah.
Just being honest, I mean, That would be a tough one to let go.
Well, and like I said, as hard as it would be, we've got the scriptures saying that we've got to forgive, and so we've got to find a way within ourselves to forgive. We've got to find, and that's an aspect of this lesson I'm not planning on talking about. But there are things. What do you do in that situation? That's extreme. But just talked about something. Our feelings were hurt really bad. Somebody said something really mean. Or they misrepresented you and said, well, you said this and it wasn't true. And it blew up into this whole big thing. And all these people are involved. And you're having a hard time. This is real. This is a real thing. And we have a hard time forgiving them. What do we do? Obviously, we go to God in prayer. But I think there is a time, and Phil, jump in if you have a thought on this, but there is a time when we need, is the word to confide, is that right, in somebody? Am I saying that right? Like go to somebody, maybe an elder, or someone you respect greatly, that's not going to run off with gossip on the matter, but it's like, I am struggling with this. Help, study with me, help. Pray with me. Help me find the encouragement and the will in my heart to forgive them. Because you have to forgive them. You got to find a way to forgive them. That is a whole other lesson that we could spend a lot of time talking about. But ultimately, we've got to find a way to forgive them.
If someone, back on the other thing, if someone betrays your trust, you can forgive them. It doesn't mean you have to continue to associate with that person, especially if that person has done it over and over and over and over. You can forgive them. God doesn't tell us to put our heads in the lion's mouth. We have to have discernment also to distance ourselves from an individual that would hurt.
That's right, and that would go along with the consequences of something that was done wrong to us, and we still have that obligation to forgive. But what follows? We might not loan them things. We've lost a great deal of trust with them. Now, over time, I think some of that slowly builds back, but it's not always just an instant, and we're not going to trust them. And there's other consequences that would come along with it as well. Yeah, so that's a good point. Let's go to a couple more. In Colossians chapter 3, this is going to be our lesson next week, as we're going to talk real briefly on serving one another. We've kind of already covered that lesson, but then we're going to get into this lesson on bearing with one another and bearing one another's burdens. But here in Colossians chapter 3, reading verses just 12 through 15, and so it goes, you've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity or perfection. In just Paul writing to the Christians here at Colossae, and really this is the characteristic of a Christian. You've been chosen of God, and you've got to put on a heart of compassion and kindness, humility, forgiving one another just as Christ has forgiven you. And he really just reminds them of that. And then finally in Philippians chapter 3, I think this is a hard one. When someone did wrong to you and it would really hurt, notice what Paul says here. We're going to Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's it right there. That's what forgiveness is. Forgetting what lies behind. It's a done deal. If we forgive them, which we will forgive them, as hard as it is, we as Christians, if you're going to continue to walk in the light and be a child of God, you will forgive them. That's a certain thing. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And that goes to a focus as Christians in what we're here for. And we're living our life for Christ. We are here to, at the end, to be complete in Christ. And if we can spend our life with a forgiving heart and attitude, no matter how hard it might be, knowing that forgiveness might not come in the instant. It might take a few hours. It might take a few days. Maybe longer. But we will find a way. We have to find a way. Because our salvation depends upon finding a way to forgive one another. I've got one more point down here. Forgiveness is a gift. We're giving someone a gift. They sinned against us. We're forgiving them the wrong that they've done to us, just as the Lord has forgiven us. Just like I talked about, there's a debt. When someone does something wrong to you, they've got that debt that we can forgive. And we've got to do that. I mean, we need to be forgiving because we're told to be forgiving, but it's just an interesting picture. That there's sin and we can forgive it. If we choose not to forgive it, is that debt forgiven? I think it would be if the heart of that person is really honest and sorry they did what they did. I believe the Lord's going to forgive them if they're in Christ. But if we have an obligation to cancel out that debt that they did against us, and if we choose not to, it's almost like, it's not worded this way in the scriptures, I'm just using my own words, but it's almost like the Lord takes that debt on them and places it on you because you're not willing to forgive them. We've got to find a way to forgive one another.
I just had a thought on that, is when you forgive somebody, you have to do it with an attitude, a proper attitude. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you can't go back and say, well, I forgave you, therefore, type of thing, and hold that over them, that you forgave them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm trying to say? Being humbled yourself as you're forgiving somebody else.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that it's going to take time, even though we find it in our heart to forgive them. I mean, maybe there's so much to this lesson. My mind's just wandering, but I suppose there's, could you forgive somebody prematurely? I'm off script now, but I suppose you probably could. You know it's right, and so you forgive them. But you realize 2 weeks later that you haven't forgiven them. That could be a real case too. I think we're trying to do the right thing. Yes, I forgive you, but we lie at home and it's like, you realize a few days later, a month later, you know what? I haven't forgiven that person. And I think the right thing in that time to do, even though the other person might not know about it, maybe they think everything's cool and we've been able to be cool around them, but I think the right thing to do would be to go back to that person and say, I know I said I forgive you, but I'm not sure I really did. But I have now. And then you probably need to ask for forgiveness. Go ahead.
I was just thinking about how the Lord forgives us even when we've committed the same sin again. And so, I mean, just so much goes back to a recognition of the forgiveness that we're receiving from God. And, you know, we need to check our attitude, which is, I know this is all about that, but about our forgiveness toward others. If someone, again, you brought it up, but if someone sins against you more than once in the same way, I mean, if I withhold that forgiveness, I mean, have I ever looked in the mirror to see that God has forgiven me perhaps of a particular sin over and over and over again? I think that affects our attitude and how we then treat others and the forgiveness that we should grant them.
Okay. I know we're way over time. I was supposed to, and I think it was in my notes, and I missed it, but to read the rest of Matthew chapter 18, and I think we all know the story. So the master, the Lord forgave him of his debt he owed him, and he was going to ship him and his family, he was going to sell him off. Yes, he forgave him. What did that slave do? He went to all the other people that owed him and said, you pay me back. And all, right? And it was the same thing. I'm in 29. His fellow slave began entreating him, please have patience with me. It's the same thing he did to the Lord, to his Lord that forgave him. And he was unwilling to forgive him. And he threw him in prison. And anyway, that goes on down. And his fellow slave saw what was going on. And he reported to the Lord what was going on. And then the Lord summoned him. He summoned the guy that he had forgiven, and his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you entreated me. He prostrated himself. He's not pleased. He's begging. Don't sell me and my family. I'll pay it all back. You should not also have mercy on your fellow slaves, even as I have mercy on you. And the Lord was moved with anger and handed him over to the torturers. He should repay all that was owed him. In verse 35, so shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. And that's that true and honest forgiveness that we need to have as we're forgiving others. So, apologize for being late, but it was a good lesson and a lot of stuff there that we can continue to learn from. But next week we'll get into serving one another and bearing the burdens of others.